As we begin this morning, and we look at this particular passage of Scripture, this I Am is the second to the last one. Next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, is our last I Am statement of Jesus Christ when he talks about being the resurrection and the life. But today, he talks about something that is very key for every single believer who ever has claimed that Jesus Christ is their Lord. This is a series for this. This statement from him today makes that life work. The series key truth that we've been talking about the entire time through this entire series is God's greatest revelation about himself is seen in Jesus Christ. And Jesus making these statements, these I Am statements, makes it very clear about what God really wants for a person's life. And we get connected today to this life from the vine because this is where Jesus Christ is going to say is the abundant life. In John chapter 15, where you are, but if you're on the same page with John 14, or if you have to turn the page backwards, the very last part of John chapter 14 says that Jesus says in John 14, "Come now, let us leave." So they were in this upper room. They were at the Passover meal that we kind of talked about last week. And right here this morning, in a few minutes, we're going to have communion as a reminder of what they were doing in that upper room earlier in the evening. And when Jesus says, "Come, let us leave," and where they were heading from their upper room was to the Garden of Gethsemane. Which, by the way, if you didn't know what Gethsemane meant in the biblical language, it means wine press, and it's the place where Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's amazing how God works out every single detail so that later when you and I are reading about it, we see all of these interesting, I will call them angles or little new depths of things. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, because it means wine press, in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was walking to after the last Passover with the Last Supper with his disciples, begins his crushing process. That's where it happens. That's where it starts, is in that part of Gethsemane whenever the Jews come with their soldiers and arrest Jesus Christ. That crushing process begins for him to begin to give us our eternal life through his work on the cross. But in order to get to Gethsemane, they would cross through the Kidron Valley, which was just a small area right into the garden. And in order to get to the garden through the Kidron Valley, they would have to go by the temple. And in that temple, there was the ideas that they would see in just a second. But just to give you an idea of how the vine or how the vineyard they were heading to was adopted by the Israelite people. In Isaiah 5:7, it says this. It says, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel." There's a vineyard picture that they've adopted as their icon as a country. And as a nation, Jeremiah 2:21 says, "I planted you a choice vine." In other words, I made you the vine. There was something about the nation of Israel that was a precious sight of God. And then in Psalms 80, verse 8, it says, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it." The nation of Israel represents somewhat like this vine, and they adopted this icon, this symbol, for their entire existence, so that when they were walking toward the Gethsemane, they would have to walk by through the Kidron Valley, the temple. And when they did the temple, and you remember a couple weeks ago, do we have that picture of that temple? So when they had to kind of walk by that area, and there was a place within that temple that the wealthy Israelites who owned businesses would come. And they would drop off vines or grape clusters of vines, and they would put them there as a sense of a token of maybe a little bit of an offering or more of a national spirit about them. And those vines had grown to sometimes a height of 5 or 6 feet. They had been that tall. And it's a key picture from where they are. And this is inside of that holy place interest that we saw there. Those were actually, some of them were made out of gold. I mean, that's an expensive place to put some decorations. Before they arrive into the garden, they had to go through that area. And I think that's where the comments come for Jesus to make his statement. Because a few weeks ago, when they were by the candelabras and all lit up, he said that I'm the light of the world. And then every time he saw one of their icons in the I Am statements, he made that statement and then gave them a picture of who he was because of that icon. So when the light of the world, or the bread of life at the breaking of the bread. So in John chapter number 15, John starts to record, maybe en route toward the Gethsemane, possibly en route to the garden where he would eventually get arrested. Jesus says in John chapter number 15, this is where your Bibles come into play, or your device. It says this in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it'll even bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, verse 5, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory. That might be a good key connection part there. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Yay, ray, yay, 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 I get what I want. This is to my Father's glory. You might want to align your asking into what would bring glory to God. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When we break this particular passage of 8 verses down, there's a few things that we come across. Number one, the first thing that we could do is let's just get some explanation of the facts. Let's just get that part right there. There's another picture that some of you might see. So in Israel, this is a common picture. This is a common thing in Israel because it's a vine that has grapes growing and they're, according to sources, amazing because the ground is so amazingly able to produce fruit and vegetables. And it's incredible. So this is a very common picture for them to have. And so in this particular picture, we see that like the vine, which is Jesus, is the trunk of the plant. Like he's the main source of it. And it can stand sometimes 32 to 36 inches high if you were to see this in Israel. Now the branch, which is God's children, they are connected to that plant. And if Jesus is saying to them that I'm going to go and show you this, that you are the branch and the vine of God simply because you belong to the nation of Israel, the fact that you're a Jew just doesn't save you. The only thing that can save you is to have an intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ connected to that vine. Those branches have to be joined to me. So in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 8, this is a major connection to someone that understands that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's because when you're connected to Jesus Christ, you're not out there on your own. You're not having to worry about where your life is. You're not having to worry about eternal life. You're not having to worry about anything when you're connected to the vine. Sitting on Dick Fisher's bed yesterday and talking to him, and he has absolutely no doubt where he is going. He's connected to the vine. He absolutely has no worries whatsoever at any stage of this particular process because he knows where he is headed. That's a person who's connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. Now, the fruit that's on there, the fruit is the treasure of the plant. It's what gets the production. It's what we see it's, in a sense, it's kind of the evidence of your salvation. The fruit is actually a kind of an evidence of your salvation. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse 20, Jesus makes a statement, by their fruit you will recognize them. He's talking to his disciples saying, later on when people come to me, you're going to know who they are by what they do. This is where things get all hung up, by the way. People start to make sure that we have a list of do's and a list of don'ts to be a Christian. And that's when it goes to the other side. That goes south. That's not accurate. There is an element of what happens in a life of a believer because they're connected to Christ because of what they believe. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it says this, the expression of that salvation that comes out, the fruit, the product of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are things that come out of the fruit, that those who are connected to the vine. If you are the branch and you're connected to the vine, then the fruit that you're going to produce will be something inside of Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now, the gardener, as Jesus said in the passage of Scripture, the gardener is God. He tends the plant. Now, we'll talk about that in a second, but let's go to number two in your notes. Let's examine the fruit for just a second. So we've already said that the vine is going to produce, the vine connected, the branch connected to the vine, the trunk is going to produce fruit. We've already stated that. So let's make sure that if we know that fruit's coming and we know that it's an expression of our salvation, let's examine the fruit for just a second. And this is where the gardener kind of comes into a focus. So in John chapter number 15, verses 2 and 5 that we read earlier when we started the message, it says that Jesus was saying the phrase, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it bears even more fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do anything. So let's look at the first types of branches. Let's look at branch number one, the no fruit branch. That's the one that's cut off, take away, and it's even a word that we put in there as lifts up. Now, I'd be willing to say that no matter what word we use in the English language for this Greek wording in John chapter number 15, 2 and 5, it's going to be a challenge to get it to accuracy from the original language. It's going to have a tough time. So the New King James Version has a really good, we'll call it a rendering of it. In John 15, 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. As we dig into the studies of that particular passage a little bit more, there's an image of a vine that has grown, there's an image of this vine that has grown to the ground. It's not up off the ground, and it's running along, and it's preventing it from producing fruit because it's running along the dirt. It's down here. It's down to where it can't get any source to it at all. So the image here is that the vine dresser, the person over the garden, would come by, find this branch lying on the ground and not being able to produce fruit because it's running along the dirt, and pick it up. Pick it up and put it in a better position so that it could start to producing fruit. And tie it up a little bit so that it would be doing what it's supposed to be doing. Now that's the new fruit. That's the picture of the one that has this no fruit. You see the strong words in there that can be cut off and taken away. Those are pretty strong words that Jesus is using. The other one is some fruit. The branch two is that some fruit. Well, this some fruit comes because it's going to get pruned. So some branches in the Jerusalem setting of Israel would develop like shoots off the bottom of it with leaves, or there are too many leaves that would start to block the sunlight and not allow for key nutrients to start producing the good fruit that people would wanted. So what would happen is because it had started having so much vegetation spring out from it, it would start to shrink back what was really, really good. It's not that it wasn't a bad branch. It just wasn't producing what it could produce. I'm going to say that again. It wasn't that the second branch was a bad branch. It just wasn't producing what it could produce. Too many other leaves, woody shoots had shot out over it and it was blocking its chances to get all the light it needed. Application for that today, it'd be something like this. It's a question. What's more common in our lives? Ready? Here it is. Here's a question. What's more common? Our spiritual world overruns our physical world, or our physical world overruns our spiritual world? Pastor Aaron, can you explain it more? Yeah, let's have some examples, shall we? Here's one. Let's just use this one here. Wow, I have so much time invested in my personal worship, I haven't had a chance to check my Facebook page. I don't know if you'd ever hear that. I don't know. I don't know if you'd hear that or not. I just don't think it would happen. Here's one. Last week, I didn't even really get a chance to get in a decent meal because I was out every night serving people in Jesus' name. Probably wouldn't hear that, would you? That's a tough one, isn't it? Here's one. You know what? I'm going to really have to cut back on my Bible study and my prayer time so that I can watch a TV show. I love it. What? No, absolutely. People will be like, and I'm telling you what, this is the last phrase I wanted to hear and give you during March Madness, by the way. March Madness, the Bible study and the prayer time starts to creep down in Pastor D's schedule a little bit, right? You're like, no way. Man, March Madness is that's my kryptonite. March Madness kind of gets to me a little bit. Now, once it's over, now I spend some time in the Word as well. I will say March Madness kind of is on. And I know it's on too much whenever my wife says, is there anything else on tonight besides basketball? And I tell her, no, not during March Madness. They cancel all TV shows. Branch number two is some fruit comes out, but it needs to be pruned so more fruit can come along. Number three, good fruit. This is quantity and quality. This is really the amount, but it's not only a lot of it, but it's really good. This is the part of us that's learned to balance the work and pleasure with our spiritual lives and our efforts that we have incorporated them in together to where we're living a life that is consistently connected to Jesus Christ. It's not the person. This good fruit and this really awesome fruit is not the person necessarily who is at church every single time there's a church service, but they're grumpy. That's not that kind of person. I've been at church every time I don't miss a service. When they go there and they complain about everything, that's not good fruit. It's the fruit of the person that's there that says, my attitude and my disposition and who I am before Jesus Christ is that I'm pleasant to be around because I'm here to make an impact on other people. And I take that impact everywhere I go in my community because I want to touch the lives of other folks. The only time I can ever really truly say that possibly this doesn't apply when you're out in the community is when people cut you off in traffic. If you want to kind of lose it there, I'm giving you some permission. Probably not, but I mean, you know. I know that's just because it's the therapy thing I'm working through. But the thing is that this disposition and this attitude of who we are is this good fruit that comes from us because we're connected to the vine. That's the part that has to deal with that. It's a person whose disposition is I rely on Jesus Christ and I'm connected to him and I'm in the vine, that he controls my temperament. He controls my disposition, my personality. He allows me to express him wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. They're the kind of people that are really fun to be around. They are the Richard and Mary Fishers. That's who those people are. Number three in your notes. Number three is that after we've had the idea of the examination of the fruit, let's look at number three real quick. The enrichment of our faith. The enrichment of our faith. So first part of just getting our faith stronger, the gardener who is God, he lifts and he disciplines. He goes into a place in which he takes care of those people that are his. And actually Hebrews talks about some degrees of discipline. We don't have time to read it today, but in Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 5 through 11, if you want to read it, you have like three levels. You have a rebuke, and you have a chastening, and you have a scourging. The rebuke is generally a verbal warning. The chastening is an emotional discontent. Sometimes your pathway in your life, I got to hurry, but the pathway in your life is going in a direction that you're emotionally discontent. And that sometimes is a God saying, hang on, you're outside of my will for you, making you having a hard time enjoying the present situation you're in. I see it all the time. Somebody's living in an engaging, continual sin, asking me, how come I can't get closer to God? Number two, the gardener prunes. The gardener prunes because there's these... The internal interest and the identification, the they're through external and internal. External means that there's the commitments and the activities and the priorities that I make a part of my life. That's what's happening. It's what I put down on my calendar. It's what happens in my social agenda. It's what happens at what I do after work or after I supply what I need for my family. Those are my external activities. Those are my external commitments and my priorities. Sometimes God, the gardener, can start to prune those if those get out of whack and out of balance. The internal part that we have that happens to us is our identity part. It's our worth. It's our value. It's our significance. It's our worth and value. It's where do we put our worth and our value? Do you put your worth and your value on the fact that people like you and want you to be around? Or do you put your worth and your value on the fact that Jesus has made you an ambassador and you're to take his love to others around you? See, it all the action is probably going to be the same. The motive is what's completely different. If I want to reach my community, I'm going to reach my neighbor, and I'm going to reach my coworker, I'm probably going to do that if I see myself as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to reach them, be kind to them, build bridges with them, and build relationships with them because he's made me an ambassador to them, or if I just want them to like me. Do you see how the same activities could happen, but the motives are entirely different? And the one that has Jesus at the motive has a lot more quality in its fruit. It's a lot more potent. So that's what happens when the gardener prunes. Now, the last thing in your notes is that the encouragement of flourishing. There's an encouragement of flourishing. For that what happened, we have one, the branch of repent. Choose and obey the conviction when the Holy Spirit brings it to us. Number two, reorganize, putting the kingdom first in our lives. Number three, release, rest, and request. When he says, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done to you. That little part of releasing is let go and let God. That is a hard thing to do for me. I'm constantly trying to figure things out. Can I get this to work? Maybe this would take place. Can I pull on this chain and make this over here work? And sometimes it's just taking a break and saying, God, I'm going to trust that you work this situation out no matter what. Rest. This is key on your rest. If you're taking anything down in your notes, not doing more for Jesus. Not doing more for Jesus. I try to eliminate that phrase from your vocabulary and my vocabulary. I want to do better. I want to do more. Rather than that phrase, make the choice to walk closer to the vine. Make a choice to be closer to the vine. The closer you are to the vine, the more fruit you will produce because it's not you, it's the vine. And then request. We're in step with Jesus Christ at our requesting, so we know what to ask for. We know what to ask for. When you start to pray about your wants and your desires, the prayer that comes is, God, these are things that we need, but according to your will. Now, these are things that I need you to come and give me an answer on in my life according to your will, according to your glory, according to what would bring you the most glory. So, what this imagery of the vine, what kind of comes to your mind this morning? If your mind's like mine this morning, it's very difficult to actually look and focus on this passage of Scripture in light of the news that we heard a few minutes ago. But in light of the news that we heard a few minutes ago, and an evaluation of our lives, and a picture of the vine, that if you're a vine, that if you're a branch and you're connected to Jesus the vine, and you're to be producing fruit, a part of that area in your life could use maybe some pruning, or maybe some picking up. Maybe some re-engaging. Do you remember the passages that we read early up inside the in the notes today that were Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22 and 23? Those phrases, those words, do you remember those? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a good size list in Galatians chapter 5. You can find it there. But what about those What about those particular pieces of fruit in Galatians 5? And you know what I find interesting? That Paul actually uses those character qualities in our life and the Spirit as fruits of the Spirit, the things that get produced. Which part of those might need a little targeting on your in your life? Which part of those might need Jesus Christ to have a revisit to where he say, get your connection from me? When we come to the communion table here in just a few seconds, that's what we do. We come to the communion table to remember, we come to the communion table to remember what he did on the cross. And as the band comes and begins to prepare for us to get to this reflective part, we remember what he did for us on the cross, but it's also a connection. Remember, he was leaving the Passover meal in an upper room, walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, where his crushing process would begin. And on the way there, they passed these vines, and he told his disciples, "You guys, if you stick close to me, you're going to produce what you're supposed to produce." Judas had already left, so there were just 11 of them there. Judas was hunting down the Roman soldiers and the Jews so they could meet him in the garden because they went there all the time. You already knew that. There was 11 of them standing there. Here's what I find amazing. Those 11 on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane are the 11 that heard that phrase. "I'm the vine. You guys are the branch. You stick to me, you'll produce enough fruit. You'll produce all the fruit." I can't help but imagine that years later, as those guys taught every year, all of that, and it came down to where you and I. But it was those 11 guys who had to get that picture, because it was because of them the gospel began to spread. And now it's in our lap. So when we come to this table this morning, it's an awesome remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross for us, but it's also a very clear picture of saying, you know what? Christ, I do this because I want to connect to you, and when I'm connected to you, I'm producing the fruit that you want me to produce and touch lives that I want to touch. So as they start to sing, what will happen is that you'll just, there's a table at the back and a table here at the front, and you'll just, whichever one you want to go to, you come and take a piece of the bread and the cup and go back to your seat, and we'll pray together and take it. Let's do that right now.